My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So what do we learn about the thief on the cross? It is based clearly on assumption. You cannot prove one way or the other whether the thief was baptized. He may have been, he may not have been, but we don't build arguments that our people's souls are based on assumptions. You can't prove it either way. Secondly, he's not an example of New Testament salvation. Just like others under the old law, he was under the old covenant. Now, we want to look to New Testament salvation. We look to God's teaching in the book of Acts. Matthew through John tell us about the life of Christ, what he did, how he lived his life, the things that he did for us in his teaching. And then when Jesus dies at the end of those accounts, then men and women are taught what they must do to become a Christian. The book of Acts answers the great question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. And so if I want to find out examples of salvation today, I'm going to turn to the book of Acts and find out what those people did. And thirdly, the thief is not a good example of salvation because while Jesus was alive, the Scripture says he had power on earth to forgive sins. When Jesus died, his covenant went into effect, and we're going to be judged by the words of Christ today. That's our standard, and that's our God, and how we need to be sure not to depart from the right hand or to the left. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. How we need to be sure that we don't add to or take away from the teaching of the New Testament. And so for just a few minutes, let's consider, now that we've dealt with that argument, which won't hold water, let's deal with what the Scriptures do say concerning baptism. Let's refresh our mind about some of the passages that teach with clarity what a person must do to be saved. I want you to notice first and foremost, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. What Jesus teach here? The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus clearly taught in this passage there are two requirements that a person must meet to be saved. He who believes. Does everybody agree that you've got to believe to be saved? Most religious people who believe in Christ will say, sure, if you don't believe, you're going to be lost. Baptism is conjoined with belief in such a way that the two are inseparable. If you don't meet both of those, you can't be saved. It's like saying this, he who eats and drinks will be filled. You've got to meet both requirements. If I just eat, I'm not going to be filled. If I just drink, I'm not going to be filled. Until I do both, then am I filled. The same is true concerning baptism. Well, someone says, Jesus didn't say toward the end of it, he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. Jesus only said, he who does not believe will be condemned. Let me ask you this. If you don't believe, are you even a candidate to be baptized? Of course not. It would be redundant, if not ridiculous, for Jesus to say, he who does not believe, and oh yeah, even though you don't believe, if you're not baptized, you'll be condemned also. If you don't believe, you're surely not going to be baptized. That is a logical following from not believing. And so Mark 16:16 makes it clear. Belief and baptism are both essential to salvation. Let's look at another passage. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Notice what the Scripture says here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter is here preaching on Pentecost when the law goes forth from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2, verses 3 and 4. He proclaims Jesus as the way of salvation. He preaches to the Jews, you killed your own Messiah. They cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? How can we overcome the sin of killing our Messiah? And Peter did not say, don't do anything, Jesus has done it for you. Peter did not say, say the sinner's prayer. Peter did not say, believe only and you'll be saved. Peter said, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. And what was the reason? For the remission of sins. Now, why is that important? Remember, it is sin that separates a man from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Scripture says, "The Lord's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear, His arm's not shortened that He cannot save, but your sins and your iniquities have separated your God from you, or your sins have separated you from your God." Sin severs the relationship with God and man. If I can know the exact point in time when sins are removed, I can know when God and man are joined and when salvation occurs. When are sins remitted? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now someone says, "Well, I know the Bible says that, but that word 'for' there means because of." It doesn't mean that, and here's how you can know, proof positive. Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus, this is the same syntax, same Greek syntax as in Acts 2:38. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant shed for many," listen, "for the remission of sins." Is Jesus there saying His blood was shed because of? If you're going to take one, you've got to take the other. Same Greek syntax. We know that Jesus is saying, "My blood was shed so that you could receive the forgiveness of sins." And we know baptism is for looking toward the purpose in order to receive the forgiveness of one's sins. Well, let's think about another example. Notice what the Scripture teaches in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. The Bible says, Ananias is speaking to Saul, and he says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Here's Saul's account. What did Saul have to do to get right with God? Remember, he was wreaking havoc on the church. Jesus confronts him on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And he says, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" "You go in the city. It'll be told you what you must do." Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Acts 22:16 tells us what that must was. Now remember, if sin separates me from God, the moment sins are washed away is the moment I'm saved. Acts 22:16 again says, "Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If baptism is the point in time when my sins are washed away, I can't be saved a moment before that. Someone says, "Well, all you've got to do is call on the name of the Lord. That's what Acts 2:21 says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Indeed, it does. But let's let the Bible be its own best commentary. Did you notice the last part of Acts 22:16? "Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." How do you call on the name of the Lord, biblically speaking? You get up and you do what God says concerning baptism. That's what it means to call on the name of the Lord correctly. And then someone says, "Well, okay, that's all good and well, but are you saying baptism saves?" We're saying the Bible says that. Notice the words of 1 Peter 3:21. I want you to notice this little phrase here. Peter says, "Baptism does now also save us." Not alone, combined with hearing, believing, repenting, confessing. But notice what the Scripture does say in 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does now save us. How clearer could God be than that? Are you saying that a person has to be baptized to go to heaven? We're saying that's what Jesus said. John 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Unless, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." You can't get in God's kingdom, which ultimately He's coming back for and who will reside in heaven, unless you obey God's plan of salvation concerning water baptism. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. If salvation's in Christ, if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, the next question is, how do I get in Christ? Galatians 3:27 tells us, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Look at that clear teaching. If salvation and all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and if I get into Christ by being baptized, I can't be saved until I've done what God says concerning baptism. all throughout the book of Acts, in every account, in the account of Simon the sorcerer, in the account of the Ethiopian eunuch, in the account of Lydia, in the account of the Corinthians, in every account, baptism is the integral point at which one stops becoming a sinner and starts becoming a child of God. Friend, we ask you today, have you submitted to God's teaching concerning baptism? The Scriptures are undeniable. The major argument is not an argument at all. It's only assumption. Don't base your salvation on what some people think the thief did. Base your salvation upon the Word of God. Have you heard that Word? Are you willing to submit to it? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you willing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world? In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch asked, here's water, what does hinder me? And the response was, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Have you believed in Jesus as the Son of God? Are you willing to repent and turn from sin that your sins may be blotted out? Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Will you make that good confession that the Ethiopian eunuch made? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Acts 8 verse 36 and 37. And won't you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Don't buy into the idea that baptism is just an outward sign of an inward grace. The Bible teaches baptism is something you do prior to salvation. It's the point at which you contact the blood of Jesus, Romans 6, 1 through 4. And if you haven't done that, listen carefully. If you haven't done that, we say to you kindly and lovingly, you are not saved. You are still in your sin, and you will perish eternally if you don't make that right. We're begging you, we're pleading with you today. Won't you be baptized for the remission of your sins? We hope you will. God wants you to. The decision is yours.